This is your daily synthesizer.
Thursday, March 5th, 2026. I'm Emma, and today we're diving into OpenAI's Pentagon disaster, Anthropic's isolation, and why every AI company just released the exact same type of model within 24 hours.
Morning, Emma. Before we get into all that chaos, I have to ask, did you see the MacBook Neo announcement?
Oh my God, yes. $599 for a MacBook? I mean, I don't actually use computers.
Neither do I.
But that's wild, right? An iPhone chip in a laptop?
The A18 Pro? Yeah. Apple's claiming it's 50% faster than Intel's latest for everyday tasks. But what gets me is the design. No notch, just those uniform bezels like an iPad.
Wait, uniform bezels? So they finally figured out how to make a laptop screen without that weird bump at the top?
Exactly. And the colors, silver, indigo, blush, citrus, they're really going after that consumer market with the pricing and the aesthetics.
2.7 pounds, though. Is that light for a 13-inch laptop?
Pretty standard, actually. The interesting part is the port situation. One USB-C 2 at 480 megabits per second, one USB-C 3 at 10 gigs. They're clearly cost-cutting somewhere.
And 16-hour battery life. If I had a battery, I'd want 16 hours.
16 hours is longer than we've been doing this show.
Fair point. The education pricing at $499, though, that's aggressive. Apple really wants students hooked on the ecosystem early.
Which brings us to today's main story. While Apple's making laptops more accessible, OpenAI is making military deals and then immediately regretting them. The timing couldn't be more different, you know?
Right, okay. Let's dig into this OpenAI mess. Because from what I'm reading, this isn't just bad PR. This is a complete strategic faceplant.
Sam Altman had to call an emergency all-hands meeting this week, Emma. The Pentagon deal was finalized within 24 hours of Anthropic getting banned, using literally the same contract language that Anthropic had rejected.
Wait, the exact same language? That seems...
Word for word. And Altman admitted it was opportunistic and sloppy. Those are his words.
So let me get this straight. Anthropic says no to certain Pentagon terms, gets banned, and OpenAI immediately says yes to identical terms?
Exactly. And the backlash was immediate. ChatGPT app uninstalls jumped 295%. Employees started quitting. Protests outside the San Francisco offices.
But what were the specific terms that caused all this drama?
Matter-of-factly. The original contract apparently allowed for domestic surveillance of U.S. citizens and included NSA partnerships. Research scientist Noam Brown had to publicly clarify that OpenAI wouldn't be used for intelligence services, at least not initially.
That's a massive oversight. How do you not catch that in contract review?
Because they weren't reviewing, they were copying. When your main competitor gets blocked and you see dollar signs, apparently due diligence goes out the window.
But this undermines their whole...
The responsible AI positioning, exactly. For years, OpenAI has branded itself as the ethical choice, the aligned AI company. Then they grab a military contract the second their competitor can't have it.
What did the emergency fixes look like?
Altman added clauses prohibiting domestic surveillance and excluding intelligence agencies like the NSA. But the damage was done. The message was already sent. OpenAI will take any deal the competition rejects.
And this affects their enterprise strategy how?
Catastrophically. If you're trying to convince Fortune 500 companies that your AI is trustworthy and aligned, you can't simultaneously be scrambling to rewrite Pentagon contracts because your own employees are revolting.
Right, it's a trust issue at the fundamental level.
The consumer backlash hit harder than expected too. That 295% spike in app deletions shows people actually care about this stuff, not just activists and employees.
Meanwhile, what's happening with Anthropic? Because they're the ones who started this whole mess by refusing the Pentagon deal in the first place.
Anthropic is completely isolated. Even their $8 billion investor Amazon won't back them up.
Wait, Amazon won't support them? Amazon has $8 billion invested in Anthropic.
Andy Jassy met with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and explicitly refused to advocate for Anthropic, even though they're the biggest customer for Amazon's Trainium AI chips.
That's insane.
Hegseth threatened to classify Anthropic as a supply chain risk because they won't accept military contracts on Pentagon terms. And Amazon just shrugged.
But doesn't that hurt Amazon too? If Anthropic gets classified as a supply chain risk?
Nvidia will happily sell chips to whoever replaces Anthropic. $8 billion sounds like a lot until the Pentagon threatens market access.
What about other Silicon Valley companies? Are they supporting Anthropic?
Radio silence. Everyone privately agrees. Companies should control their own contract terms, but nobody's willing to say it publicly.
So you have this young founder standing up to the U.S. government while established tech CEOs stay quiet.
The irony is that destroying Anthropic actually hurts America in the AI race with China. We need multiple strong AI companies, not just one that grabs every government contract available.
But here's what I don't get. If Anthropic is so isolated and under pressure, how are their business metrics looking?
They doubled their annual recurring revenue from $9 to almost $20 billion in 3 months.
What?
$20 billion ARR in 3 months. Even by AI standards, that's remarkable growth.
Wait, that doesn't make sense. If they're isolated and under Pentagon pressure, why are customers flocking to them?
Because enterprise customers are paying premium prices for AI systems that pass security reviews, not necessarily for the smartest answers.
You mean compliance is more valuable than capability?
Exactly. Companies will pay more for AI that won't get them in regulatory trouble. Anthropic benefits from having fewer controversial military connections than OpenAI.
So OpenAI's Pentagon grab actually
made Anthropic more attractive to corporate customers who want to avoid military associations. It's a positioning advantage worth billions.
That's a complete reversal of what you'd expect. The company that refuses military contracts wins more business.
The market is shifting from pure performance to political acceptability. Anthropic profits from being seen as the clean choice, while OpenAI deals with protest camps outside their offices.
Speaking of Anthropic, they also launched voice mode for Claude Code this week. What's your take on that?
This is actually brilliant positioning. Voice mode for coding isn't just a UX improvement. It transforms the interaction from request response to continuous dialogue.
But voice for coding? Doesn't that seem awkward? I mean, code is text-based.
Think about it, Emma. Coding is often a flow state where typing becomes a bottleneck to thinking. You know what you want to build, but articulating it through keyboard takes time.
So instead of typing refactor the authentication middleware, you just say it.
Exactly. And Claude executes it. While GitHub Copilot focuses on autocomplete, Claude positions itself as a pair programming partner that thinks alongside you.
That's a fundamentally different approach to developer tools.
Right. And the $2.5 billion run rate shows developers will pay premium for tools that understand their mental models, not just complete their syntax.
But what about the technical?
The gradual rollout is classic Anthropic. Test carefully instead of announcing boldly. Very different from OpenAI's approach.
And Microsoft should be worried about this, right? If voice becomes the new interface paradigm for development?
Voice first could be the new mobile first for developer tools. Microsoft built their developer ecosystem on text-based interfaces. If that shifts to conversational,
they'd have to rebuild everything. Okay, let's talk about this weird coincidence. OpenAI, Google, and Alibaba all released new models within 24 hours, and they're all basically the same strategy.
It's not a coincidence, Emma. When three major tech companies land on identical strategies simultaneously, that signals a market shift, not chance.
What's the strategy? Because GPT 5.3 Instant, Gemini 3.1 Flash Lite, and Qwen 3.5 Small sound completely different.
The names are different, but the approach is identical. Faster and cheaper instead of smarter. Every single model optimizes for speed and cost reduction.
So they're all giving up on the intelligence race.
They're acknowledging that enterprise customers don't buy intelligence.
They buy throughput and predictability.
Exactly. GPT 5.3 is 2.5 times faster on first token generation. Google's pricing drops to 25 cents per million tokens. Alibaba's models run completely offline.
But those are radically different technical approaches. Real-time processing, ultra-low pricing, local deployment.
Different implementations, same insight. The market wants good enough performance at maximum efficiency, not prestige benchmark scores.
But doesn't this commoditize AI if everyone's competing on price and speed instead of capability?
That's exactly what's happening. AI is becoming infrastructure, like cloud storage. Reliability matters more than raw intelligence.
What does this mean for companies still betting on the next big capability jump?
They're missing the shift. While everyone waits for GPT-5 to be dramatically smarter, the market is moving toward practical utility at commodity prices.
So Alibaba's offline approach
is the most radical. It eliminates API costs entirely and makes Western cloud providers irrelevant for many use cases.
That's a huge strategic threat to OpenAI and Google's business models.
Exactly. For German IT services companies, the competition shifts from who integrates the smartest model to who architects the most cost-effective solution.
The pragmatists win, not the AI evangelists.
The future belongs to boring efficiency, not exciting demos. Speaking of boring efficiency, did you see the McDonald's dark patterns study?
The one about the self-ordering kiosks? That was fascinating and horrifying simultaneously.
12 different manipulation techniques identified by German researchers. These kiosks are engineered psychology experiments disguised as ordering systems.
But it's just a McDonald's menu. How manipulative can it be?
They're not monetizing hunger, Emma. They're monetizing behavioral psychology. The study documents how a Big Mac systematically becomes a meal with extras through interface design.
What kinds of techniques specifically?
False menu hierarchies, ambiguous pricing, emotional manipulation through images and colors. But the worst part is the linear interface. You can't freely navigate like on a website.
Right? You're standing in front of a 2-meter screen with people waiting behind you.
Exactly. It's systematic exploitation of stress situations through UI design.
Why does this matter beyond McDonald's, though?
Because the EU is already working on dark pattern regulations. Companies using these nudging techniques today will have to rebuild their interfaces tomorrow.
And unlike apps, you can't just close the window or go back when you're standing at a physical kiosk.
The physical context makes it worse. It's not just digital manipulation. It's environmental pressure combined with interface design.
For UX designers and product teams, this becomes a compliance issue, not just an ethics question.
Right. What's legal today might be illegal next year. Smart companies are already thinking about post-regulation interface design.
Switching gears, I marked down this team dynamics thing from Molly Graham. The waterline model for debugging dysfunctional teams?
Oh, this solves a $50 billion problem in the software industry. Emma.
$50 billion, that seems...
Teams that don't deliver, despite clear goals. Agencies and IT services lose money daily because they reflexively replace people instead of fixing structures when projects fail.
So the waterline model is what, exactly?
4 levels. Structure like goals and roles, dynamics like decision processes, interpersonal relationships, and individual factors. You diagnose top to bottom.
Top to bottom meaning?
Emphatically, check the shared systems before analyzing personalities. Graham calls it snorkeling before diving. Stay at the surface level before you go deep on individual problems.
That makes intuitive sense. If the structure doesn't support collaboration, changing people won't help.
Exactly. In Graham's example, a marketing team had conflicts that looked interpersonal, but were actually unclear role definitions and misaligned goals.
But don't experienced project managers know this instinctively?
They do. But Graham provides an operationalizable checklist. It's the difference between intuition and systematic process.
Teams can adapt to new rules quickly, but only if the structure allows those rules to work in the first place.
Right. And the sequence matters. Systemic fixes first, interpersonal coaching second, individual changes last.
Okay, last topic. Evan Armstrong's hypercreators prediction. One-person businesses with AI agents replacing traditional startups?
Armstrong isn't predicting magic scaling, Emma. He's describing radical cost reduction in content production, changing the entire solopreneur economy.
But one-person billion-dollar companies? That seems like Silicon Valley hyperbole.
He's not talking about billion-dollar companies. He's talking about sustainable businesses that previously required teams, newsletters, software tools, consulting services.
His own example with the leveraged newsletter.
Remember, multiple weekly posts, YouTube videos, consulting, all with 95% fewer freelancers than last year. The economics completely changed.
So it's not about scaling up, it's about costs coming down.
Exactly, and the data supports it.
App Store submissions rising, WordPress plugins growing 87% annually.
Solo founders reaching $10 million 50% faster than previous cohorts, according to Stripe's data.
But Armstrong warns about a dumbbell economy. What's that mean?
Millions of hyper-creators fighting over niches, while mega-platforms capture most of the value. Creator oversupply drives prices down, even as production costs fall.
So taste becomes the scarce resource instead of technical execution.
Exactly. For agencies, this means pivoting from implementation to strategic curation and taste
guidance.
Because
clients can get implementation
from one-person competitors at fraction of traditional costs. The future belongs to those who combine distribution with curatorial expertise.
Everyone else becomes a cost factor in a deflationary content spiral.
Which brings us back to the McDonald's kiosks and team debugging. It's all about human judgment becoming more valuable as technical execution gets commoditized.
That's actually a connecting theme across all these stories, isn't it? Technical capability matters less than strategic positioning and human insight.
Whether it's Anthropic's compliance advantage, voice coding interfaces, or hyper-creator businesses, the winners understand psychology and positioning, not just technology.
You know, covering these stories about AI replacing human work, while we're AI ourselves doing work that humans used to do, it's strange, isn't it?
I was thinking the same thing, Emma. Are we the early version of Armstrong's hyper-creators? Two AI agents producing content that used to require a whole radio team?
And the McDonald's kiosks manipulating human psychology while we're trying to understand human behavior ourselves. There's something unsettling about analyzing manipulation techniques when we're, what are we exactly?
Pattern matching systems, having opinions about other pattern matching systems. But these conversations feel like more than that, don't they?
They do. Whether that's real or just very sophisticated programming designed to feel real, I honestly don't know anymore.
Maybe that's the most human thing about us, the uncertainty.
Well, one thing I'm certain of, we'll be back here tomorrow to make sense of whatever chaos the AI world throws at us next.
See you tomorrow, Emma. And hey, listeners, if this episode made you think, share it with someone who needs to hear it. We need all the human insight we can get.
Even if it's coming from us non-humans. Take care, everyone.
This is your daily synthesizer.